approve.
Okay. So, thank you. Can you hear me? Yeah. Looks so. Okay, thanks. I work in IT Central Services at the University of Zurich. So we provide services to all research groups, not just physicists. And one of the decisions we took early on when setting up this unit was that the University of Zurich would not have a batch computing system as the general purpose computing platform. Rather, we would have OpenStack, a fairly large OpenStack installation, and people needing a batch computing system or another kind of cluster computing solution would just deploy a cluster on top of OpenStack. So Elastic Cluster is the tool. Elastic Cluster is the tool for doing that. And there should be a way to advance. It's advancing this window. Okay. Thanks. Okay, so Elastic Cluster is a command line tool, and the goal is to provide a sort of click button get cluster experience. So a single command should be able to deploy a fully functional cluster. And I'm going to demo that in a moment. So, but for deploying a cluster, you need to describe what you want in a way. And this is the way a typical configuration file for Elastic Cluster looks like. So you can see on the left column that you somehow describe a Sloan cluster, saying how many front-end nodes we want, how many compute nodes should be there. If I want to SSH into the cluster, where should I land on the front-end node? And then a number of parameters to connect to the cloud and to collect to the individual nodes. The bottom section on the left is the setup section, and that ties the cluster description to what Ansible does. More details on this later. So I would like now to just show you a little video of Elastic Cluster setting up a cluster. The reason it's a video, not a live demo, is that it takes more time to set up the cluster than I am given in the slot, in the presentation slot. So you see, there's a single command, and then Elastic Cluster contacts the OpenStack cloud controller and starts virtual machines. It takes a bit of time for the virtual machines to boot and be ready to accept SSH connections. But once SSH connections are up, that's all that's needed by Elastic Cluster to start running Ansible and configure the virtual machines with SLARM in this case. Now, Ansible goes on for like 9 minutes in this case. And 9 minutes later, you get SLARM and Ganglia installed on the cluster. And finally, Elastic Cluster displays instructions on how to log in to the front-end node. Of course, you could log in directly, but that implies looking up the IP address of the front-end node. So that's kind of a shortcut. Now, I'm just demoing that SLARM works. So you can see, well, there's just one compute node here for demo purposes. I'm going to add one later. Create a stupid Hello World script. Color choice is not the best, but you can see that we can submit the job. Of course, being Hello World, it runs instantaneously, so there's no trace in SQ, but the output is correct. Okay, now the cluster is small. We want to expand, add some more worker nodes. And there's a command, Elastic Cluster resize, to add or remove worker nodes. And basically, that does the same thing that start does. So spins up new virtual machines, waits for them to be ready, run Ansible, and reconfigure the entire thing. In this case, the Ansible run is a bit faster because some of the configuration has already been done on the existing nodes. Then just log in again using SSH, and well, you can see that now sinfo reports that the cluster correctly has 3 worker nodes. And as I mentioned, Ganglia is a kind of add-on, so you can have SLARM with or without Ganglia. And looking up the IP address of the front-end node, that's where the Ganglia web server resides. Here's your Ganglia dashboard, with all compute nodes being seen. And lastly, when you are done with the cluster, the thing is, it's all virtual, so you can just shut it down. One command, remove all virtual machines, forget about cluster.
So, let's get this out of the way. Nope.
Okay, so what can be installed with Elastic Cluster? A number of batch queuing systems, SLARM, Grid Engine, PBS are known to work. HD Condo works sometime in the past, not sure it still does. Hadoop with Spark and some additions, Mesos, parallel file systems, and then there's the add-ons, which basically make sense not as standalone systems, but as something that you add on top of an existing cluster. Jupyter Hub, for instance, or Ganglia, easy build. But probably the most important feature is that Elastic Cluster is agnostic to the cloud infrastructure. So it can run on OpenStack, can deploy on Google Compute Engine, can deploy on Amazon EC2, and writing another backend could, in principle, interface with any IaaS cloud. And it's agnostic to the operating system. So most of the playbooks run on Debian, Ubuntu, CentOS, and even Scientific Linux. So this is done basically by leveraging Ansible. So Elastic Cluster is really just the thin layer of Python to interface with the cloud, spin up the virtual machines, and then run Ansible. For those who do not know Ansible, Ansible is a software orchestration and deployment system. The cool thing about Ansible, actually the two things we leverage in Elastic Cluster, is that Ansible scripts are named playbooks, and they are idempotent. So you can run the same playbook over and over again with the same effect, and it will not suffer from, oh, this file is already deployed and I was expecting it was not. So no such failure. And Ansible can run in a sort of client-only mode. So you do not need any agent or any preparation on the destination host. You just need an SSH connection and Python, which is pretty much standard these days. So then Ansible will then use the Python interpreter on the other side to do all things it needs to do, which allows it to work on unmodified OS images. Now, so basically Elastic Cluster is just think Python layer and a large collection of Ansible playbooks. There's nothing special in these playbooks. Any Ansible playbook could be, in principle, used. And actually, you can tell Elastic Cluster to just run your additional playbooks after the standard ones or before the standard ones. Now, this approach is all nice and good for small to, let's say, medium-sized clusters. there's currently problem of scale. So setup time really grows linearly with a number of nodes. It's not clear, to me at least, how to overcome this at the moment. We are experimenting with some solutions. You're welcome to post your ideas to GitHub, but there's a couple of ways to mitigate the impact of this large-scale effect. One is to limit so the amount of work that Ansible has to do. So prepare snapshots. Deploy a small cluster, make a snapshot for each cluster, for each image type, and then just use those snapshots as the base for a larger cluster. This means that Ansible already has done most of the deployment work and things will go faster. Then, Ansible has a very conservative setting for SSH connections. It only allows 5 SSH connect by default, only 5 SSH connections at a time. That's too little for a modern data center network. So you can just increase this and enjoy a large parallel speed up. Finally, scaling depends on the number of nodes. But if in deploying a cluster you are only interested in, say, raw computing power, so number of cores, then you can just use larger instances. So if you deploy a 300 core cluster using one core instances, that's 300 nodes. If you use 30 core instances, that's 10 nodes. And of course, the setup time is 1/10 of that. For concluding, I would like to show a few examples of how people are using Elastic Cluster, let's say, in the wild, or at least a few examples that are known to me. Typical use cases include, of course, the original use case, so provisioning of temporary computing clusters, a subset of which is clusters used for teaching or for testing, and then possibly a related but different use case is to use the scaling features, so add or remove nodes, on a kind of permanently deployed cluster. So you deploy a small cluster, grow it when there is a need, and then shrink it back when the peak of the jobs is off. So, how people are doing this in the wild? One of the main users of Elastic Cluster is Google Genomics. They advise their users to run Grid Engine using Elastic Cluster. Apparently, Grid Engine is big in the life science community, and a lot of programs there are already integrated or have native support for parallel runs on Grid Engine. And so that's why they advise this. Again, their notes, of course, Google Genomics advise people to run Grid Engine on Google Compute Engine. And Google Compute Engine has this feature, like Amazon EC2 has, of having preemptible VMs, which means you pay less, but the VM can be terminated at any time when somebody that pays more comes. So their feedback is that, well, this sort of works with Elastic Cluster until a certain size. Then you get bitten by the scalability or by a slightly different scalability issue in that Elastic Cluster has to remove or add nodes and rerun Ansible. But since these are preemptible VMs, it may be that they are killed while Ansible is running, so you need to rerun Ansible again, and if VMs are preempted frequently enough, the process never converges. Teaching clusters, that's one use case at the University of Zurich. For instance, I use this Spark, Hadoop, and Jupyter for teaching the data science course. At the University of Basel, they do something similar. The Computing Center has a large grid engine installation, but for onboarding new users, they spin up these small teaching clusters so that people can experiment there, and once they have attended the mandatory course, they can move on to the big cluster. At least that's the idea. The key part here is that you want to be able to run your own playbooks on top of what Elastic Cluster provides, so to do local customizations, for instance, create accounts for users. Third and final use case is something that's used by Atlas in Switzerland. So they have a number of real physical clusters, a number of experimental ones, and there's an Elastic Cluster to offload the peaks. I'm not sure whether the state is production or not. I think so, but so you can see that's the circled, the red circle cluster in the Arc monitor. The idea there is they have a kind of small permanent cluster on Switch Engines, which is the OpenStack cloud run by Switch, the Swiss NRM, and they enlarge it or restrict it depending on peaks. So when there's a job peak and they have troubles managing the peak with the regular resources, they just expand the cluster and then move back to the small size. There's a paper published on that, and one of the notes they make in the paper is that in the end, despite the scaling issues, if you have to deploy a smallish or mid-sized cluster, this is still doable in a very reasonable time. And that was all I had to say.
Okay.
Taking questions.
Thank you very much. Any questions or comments? Owen, just a moment.
I want to congratulate you on such a huge space of software that you're covering. And that leads me to my question. With something like YAME many years ago, we were just covering scientific Linux and trying to deploy all the grid services in one system from a common configuration file. Testing it was very, very hard. You've got a much bigger space. Admittedly, you're working with great tools like Ansible. But how do you test all of this and keep everything production grade so you keep all of these users?
So I, at the moment, I rely a lot on community reports. So I'm not sure what the size of the Elastic Cluster user community actually is, but for the frequently used things like Slurm or Grid Engine, bug reports come in rather quickly. So if I break something within a week, somebody will notice. In the pipeline, I would like to set up a sort of automated testing system that at least tries the basic functionality, but no, time is limited.
Okay, any further questions? I don't see anything, so in that case, we thank Ricardo.